Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley. No. This is Steiny, Guru, and Dibs.
Full show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Drafting days are here again. The anticipation grows. Who's there at 7? Would Kuminga be heaven? Not even Bob Myers knows. Happy, happy draft day. Along with Dan Dibley and John Dickinson, I'm Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason, and one of the most consequential days in recent Warriors history is here. It's upon us. We're all over it until 2 today when Damon Radwanowski take over from Chase Center. Dibs, JD, what would you like to see the Dubs do today? And how, more importantly, how vitally crucial is today to the future of this franchise?
I would like to see him make 2 picks and trade one of the picks for more picks to be named later. Keep one of the picks and just get better. And it's so consequential. And I think, JD, you had it as we go inside the green room here on Steiny Guru and Dibs, talking about maybe the most consequential off-court day since the Kevin Durant signing and maybe the biggest draft that this regime has had.
Yeah, today's going to go a long way toward determining if this team can get back to championship-level contention again, what maybe the next wave looks like after Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are past their prime and maybe on to other pastures. But yeah, it's a transformative day for the Golden State Warriors, no doubt about it, Whitey. And just to throw my 2 cents in right off the top, I'm looking for a move. I'm looking for the Warriors still to make a move. It's not Bradley Beal. It's not Damian Lillard. But if I'm Bob Myers, I'm scouring the rest of the NBA looking for a young, prime, starting-level player that you can maybe flip one or two of those picks out to bring in somebody that can fit immediately and upgrade this rotation.
JD, I have to chuckle to myself. Ha, ha, ha. When I was doing Warriors pre and post with you a couple years ago in that glorious, glorious Kai Bowman year, remember how often we would sit there and go, you know what the Warriors are hoping is that after this year, and again, this was 2 seasons ago, that maybe somebody like, of course, Giannis's name came up, Embiid's name came up, or maybe somebody like Ben Simmons is available. Well, here we are, fast forward. Ben Simmons is available, and curiously and understandably, they're not that interested. But any veterans out there that you think might still be in play, like Siakam maybe, or Miles Turner, I agree with you. It's very difficult what the Warriors are going to try to do today if they keep the picks. Picking 2 guys that you can plug into a rotation on a good team, it's really not easy. How much better can you get by doing that? So I think Bob Myers is going to exhaust all possible options, Dibs and JD, in terms of trying to deal one or both for a veteran who you know can help you next year get closer to where you really want to be.
It's a lot of gymnastics, though, that goes into it, because if you do bring in a veteran, not only will you have to trade 1 or 2 of your picks, maybe more in future picks, but also some salary has to go out as well to make it a like-for-like trade within the parameters of the trade construct of the association, unless you get a third team involved, which is very possible. One thing I like the most about the NBA draft is kind of the Wild West nature of the pick is in, the pick is made, and oh, don't put on that hat, young man, because you've already been dealt, and it's a 4-team trade involving 7 picks and 6 players. Good luck trying to break it all down, but it is exciting. It's very fluid, and that's why I think tonight 7 is more of a tradable, not pickable spot for me than 14. It feels to me like 7 is the shiny object that they're dangling in hopes of, you know, getting that veteran piece. Maybe it's a mid-level guy. To me, 14 feels more like that's where they're going to make a pick, because you can find good value at 14, maybe equal value to what you can find at 7.
I don't know. How about that, JD? It appears that there's not a ton of interest around the league in 7 and 14. Looks like the Warriors have been, you know, making the calls. Hey, 7 and 14, click. And there appears to be a consensus that the Warriors are leaning Kuminga, which, by the way, I think that's a yoga pose. Isn't the leaning Kumega?
Oh, yes.
It's not an easy one either. Be careful. You got to warm up before you try that. I know Dibs isn't buying that. I'm also skeptical. Maybe this is some disinformation as the Warriors are trying to make sure anybody who wants Kumega gets the idea that, hey, you should come talk to us because we're going to take him if he's there.
Yeah, Kuminga would be the exact kind of a player that should he slip, and I know we've talked about that this week, that all of a sudden the phones will start ringing nonstop in the 5 minutes that the Warriors would have to make a decision at the point in which he's out there. I think Kuminga being on the board for the Warriors would give them a number of different options, and I think that's a big reason why, guys, we haven't seen any kind of moves to this point with the Warriors looking to do something big or get off of these picks. It's because deadlines spur action, and Dibs, you laid it out. In the NBA, it's teams that are making picks for other teams that they already have deals consummated with. It really, and a lot of times, the action doesn't start until one of those teams that is into doing some wheeling and dealing are actually on the clock.
And that's where, to me, seven takes on such an interesting dynamic, because if, and this is the theory I've been working with, if Kuminga is a sought-after piece by a team maybe not as ready-made for a rotation draftee as the Warriors are, and if he's a player who it looks like, and he will slide to seven, how aggressive would a team be to come up? And, you know, if the Warriors could go from 7-14 to, let's say, 10-14 and another first round pick in 2024, that to me is a win, just based on the fact that I know you still need a veteran, but then maybe you can trade, you know, 10 and that pick you just got, and let's say Wiggins, for a real veteran impact piece.
And I think when you look at this draft, it's anybody that the Warriors can get at 14, I think you're going to believe that they can come in and help in all likelihood relatively quickly. I think there are a lot of players where you draft them at seven in this draft and you're going, oh boy, I don't know, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. But if you get that same player at 14, you're feeling like maybe the Warriors got a little bit of a steal, right? Oh wow, that guy was still around. So I think to that point about looking maybe to move back a little bit should Kuminga be on the board, I actually think, Dibs, it could even be veteran wing player that's a bench player instead of a future first-round pick in an attempt to maybe flip-flop and move back to where you get two picks that you're really comfortable making in that 10-14 range.
Ah, the trade down. We'll examine that. By the way, I've had to reevaluate my views on a particular prospect in the draft based on what I heard this morning on 95.7 The Game. And Dibs, you're a longtime radio veteran. What do you think? What's your evaluation of this coverage we have today? Listen to this. NBA draft coverage all day on 95.7 The Game. From Chase Center, I mentioned this, Damon Radwinkolsky. They have Bob Myers, your personal friend, at 2:30. They have Kirk Lacob at 3:30. That's on top of other guests. Plus, they're going to bring you the Warriors picks live, and they'll be first with any breaking news. Nick Friedell is in all night with Covey and Shamari Block, providing breakdown of the Warriors' moves after the draft. We don't know how the Warriors are going to do in the draft, but as far as our coverage, that's a winner.
Yeah, comprehensive. I mean, that right there is nailing 7-14 if you're the Warriors. If the Warriors can have the kind of night that we're set up to have, championship, we'll go ahead and start talking parade routes, JD, which, man, you'd have to do I don't even know how you'd get from Market, like the Ferry Building, down to Chase Center. Maybe they can ask Kirk Lacob that today if they've thought about the parade route. But that's a massive amount of coverage to be live from Chase Center, which, by the way, is, you know, going to be our first time back live at the Chase Center since the since the disgrace at Chase, February 26th, back in 2020, when I was live with Joe, the Joe Lowe and Dibs experience.
Go to hell, Dibs.
Tim Roy clowning me as I nearly died that morning on the floor at Chase Center.
You didn't die, so.
You tried taking a charge from a 16-year NFL fullback. Not advisable.
Come at
what
me,
do you
bro.
Guys? Yeah, what do you guys think of a name that a lot? I know a lot of fans are high on this player. I have not been as high. I may have to reevaluate. What do you think of Davion Mitchell?
I've loved him. I've loved him, and I feel like you're taking some of my best stuff right now, and you're welcome to it because you are my radio brother from another.
I'm not taking anything from you,
mother. No, stolen. like Alvin Robertson in a three-quarter court press back in the day. Wow. Just straight steal right there. You pick my pocket. But I love Davion Mitchell because, and I know he's small. Here comes JD with his, oh, he's only 6'1". And JD is a man who's got to be a good 6'2", 6'4", with the afro. But I love his defense. I love his intangibles. And he's proven on the biggest stage that the moment's not too much for him.
By the way, I blocked JD's shot once, Dibs. Literally blocked it. First time we played, he turned and he shot, and I blocked it, and he got it right back, and then he scored over me. But, yeah, do you remember that, JD? First time he shot me. And I don't ever block a shot, so I was as surprised as anybody.
Does he remember? This guy remembers everything.
Well, it's funny. You were going down that road, Whitey, and I thought, well, I hope you tell the part of the story where I immediately got the ball back and went up and scored. And you did.
Of course.
And you did.
Yes.
But you did block it. Yeah, you got me.
Yeah. Davion Mitchell, JD, the reason I bring him up is because, as you guys, well, you probably don't remember all of my keen draft evaluations I've provided this week, but I'm not sure about him at 7, 14 maybe, but today Ryan McDonough was on with Bonte and Butch. Ryan McDonough said he thinks Davion Mitchell is the best player who will be there for the Warriors at 7, and he also said that Steve Kerr really likes him, and I thought that was really interesting.
It's not surprising when you think about it. And look, the question that I ask regarding Davion Mitchell is, can you play him with Steph? Can you play him with Clay? Could you play him with Jordan Poole? And then the second question is, how much do you believe in, has he fixed his three-point shot? Because I actually think the defense does translate. I think he's willing to get up into players and take charges. I think he's competitive. I think he's got a mindset to where he wants to be a good player immediately and maybe even a great player down the line. So even an older player, maybe you think of him as having less upside. I actually do like him. 7 feels like a little bit of a stretch for him, but I think when you look at the way that this Warriors team is currently constituted, so be it, right? I mean, this team is looking for players that can come in and make an impact right away. I do think there's a level up, though, a ceiling that he can hit that maybe he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt for being able to attain.
Yeah, all right. So that's a name to keep an eye on. Of course, Davion Mitchell today, and we're all over the draft all day long here on 95.7 The Game, one of the most consequential days in Warrior history. 888-957-9570. And I'm kind of borrowing this from the morning show as well. I thought it was a great question. 888-957-9570. As a Warrior fan, what could the Warriors do today? What would make you happy if they come out of this draft having done this or that? What would make you happy at the end of this draft today? 888-957-9570. Coming up, the latest on, you mentioned it, JD, a potential Beal deal. And a look at some late risers who could rise into the Dubs picture. That's next. Diney, Guru, and Dibs. Dibs, JD, and Whitey today on Draft Day, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steinie, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
and John,
that's a problem,
Dickinson on 95.7 The Game.
NBA Draft Day is finally here. Of course, it's part of Bonanza with the MLB trade deadline tomorrow. Bonanza on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Pacific Catch Sustainable Seafood, West Coast Style. Yeah, it's Whitey Gleason, Dan Dibley, and John Dickinson today on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Before we get back to our exhaustive end-line-to-end-line coverage of the NBA draft, have a quick baseball note for you, JD, for you, Dibs, for you, dear listener. Of course, we know that the Giants have been linked to a lot of big-name players. We know that the Cubs apparently are putting a number of players on the market. What do you guys make of this? Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, not in the Cubs lineup today with the deadline looming tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Bum-bum-bum. Yeah. Oh, you know, hey, got to keep your eyes on the tunnel. I don't even know if they have a tunnel at Wrigley akin to what you have in modern stadiums, but you may see a guy carrying his bats and his personal things from one clubhouse to the other, JD, if, you know, he gets dealt to the Reds. We've seen those before, and even, you know, this year, this week, you had a trade involving a player switching unis and getting back out for BP. So that's a very intriguing note from Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason.
Yeah, and an opportunity for maybe another Wilmer Flores, where, you know, just overcome with emotion, a player maybe headed elsewhere. If you remember that, Wilmer Flores getting a little choked up at the ovation that he received from the fans as he found his way out of the Big Apple a couple of years back.
Yeah, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. Remember also, correct me if I'm wrong, when Freddy Sanchez got traded from the Pirates to the Giants, wasn't he really upset too? Remember that? He was just distraught that he got traded by the Pirates, JD. Remember that?
Yeah, and that was one of those that you're talking about where it was walk across the tunnel and into the other clubhouse. And, man, he was a little bit distraught. He had, won a batting title, I think, with the Pirates at one point, then comes over to the Giants. And, man, he wound up being a key cog to that 2010 team playing second base.
Yeah, so maybe Chris Bryant's that key cog this year for the Giants, Dibs. I'm still a Giants skeptic, all right? I still don't believe in all the magic. They're having a wonderful, wonderful year, but they have to do something if they're going to bring this home and actually win anything of significance.
I thought you were going Love and Spoonful for a minute there. Do you believe in magic in a young team's heart? And I do believe in the magic. And, you know, small sample size, D. Sclafani v. Dodgers. There's a 10-8 round in boxing parlance, quite frankly, and that's not good because Gausman against the Dodgers has been a little bit better, but it seems like he's been solved, and so you wonder about a series, if you get to the series, if you don't have to settle for the one piece, and you have to face that team with his staff, maybe you're a little bit less confident than you were a couple of starts ago.
Yeah, we should have known. JD called it. He'll be doing his victory dance and lock.
Yeah,
today. But yes, that's the note of interest this hour as far as the MLB trade deadline goes. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo not in the Cubs lineup today. What does that mean? We'll find out if it means anything. Back to the NBA draft. It was just a few days ago that Woj said, look, the Warriors, they're either going to trade for Bradley Beal or they're going to make the picks. Well, what's going on with Bradley Beal? Here's the latest. And if you're like me and you're hoping Bradley Beal comes here, it ain't good news. This is from Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report. By all accounts, Bradley Beal is still weighing his future with the Washington Wizards 2 days before the draft. Yet there's a growing expectation among league personnel that the All-Star guard may still choose to remain with the Wizards for now. Winning and winning in the nation's capital has long been communicated as Beal's top priority. I think, JD, you already alluded to that today. Doesn't look like Bradley Beal is coming through that door. We know that at the Chase Center today, we're going to have Ratto, we're going to have Kolsky, we're going to have Damon, but we're not going to have Bradley Beal.
And I'm just going to say it. I think this is a blessing in disguise for the Warriors.
Really?
If Bradley Beal takes his name out, because it just it forces the Warriors to disengage from the kind of deal that would have the potential to really set them back if it doesn't work out. To me, there's been far too much focus and attention paid to Bradley Beal and everything that it would take to make that kind of a move. To me, the Warriors, Dibs, should be scouring the rest of the league, and I'm sure they are, for other rotation pieces that might be better positional fits where you don't have to give up an Andrew Wiggins and a James Wiseman to try and consummate that kind of deal. There is help to be had, Dibs.
Yes, and you have to add without subtracting. And Andrew Wiggins has turned in to be a nice fit for this team. I think you saw his growth over the course of the 72-game season. And by the way, he played 71 of them. And he could have played in all of them, but they rested him for the cockamamie play-in game that is unfortunately going to return. But you got a durable piece who fits with Steph and Draymond. You can't imagine he won't fit with Clay. I mean, Clay is as easygoing of a guy and a player as it gets. I mean, he's not a very needy teammate. So for me, if you're going to add this veteran piece, it can't be at the expense of parting with Andrew Wiggins, who you know works. So how do you do that when you already have the highest payroll in league history and you're deep into the tax? So I think it's going to be the threading of a needle. You have to find the right veteran to come in for the right price. Like, I mean, a Rudy Gay type of player, somebody at the very end of their run who might be able to get you 20 minutes a night, 60 times.
I'm glad you mentioned him, Dibs. We hear his name a lot. JD, I don't know about you. I know you and I have seen a lot of Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay was an outstanding player when he first came into the league with Memphis, and now he's just not that efficient anymore. I mean, his three-point shot maybe has improved a little bit with the Spurs. Rudy Gay, and I wish him nothing but the best, a lot of miles coming. He's still, you know, not the player he was before he tore his Achilles. He does nothing for me as far as the Warriors go. Am I missing something?
Yeah, I like him more as a role player, though, now, because I think he understands that he has to be a role player. I think Rudy Gay was kind of caught in a little bit of he viewed himself as a star or as a number two on a good team, and he was never going to be the number two on a good team. Really, he needed to be the three or the four or even a bench piece, a rotation. I think he's accepted that, Dibs, as he's gotten older. And so I would be more willing now to take on a Rudy Gay than I even would have been maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Agreed. And the price is going to be such to where, you know, I'm not saying he'll play for the vet men, but somebody like him and, you know, 888-957-9570, who's your veteran scrap heap player you're looking for? Because to me, it's more likely that you make a small veteran add than it is you trade two picks, Wiggins and Wiseman, for Bradley Beal. That to me seems way pie in the sky, but you never know. Bob Myers today with the afternoon show and also Kirk Lacob, so you'll get some sense, I think, pre-draft as to, you know, what they're thinking. They won't get probably show us their cards, Whitey, but you might have some indication you know, until the draft starts where they're leaning.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Jonathan in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Jonathan? What are you doing if you're in charge of this draft tonight?
Hey, they're thinking 7-14 because, you know, trading's just too much hassle. It's too complicated. They don't have money for superstars or anything like that. Just get a couple of big shooting guards or somebody with athleticism, you know. They could go Wagner, or they could go, let me see, Kispert, Gonzaga. You know, he's 6'7", shoots a high clip of three-pointers because they need size, man. The NBA is getting bigger again. If you saw what happened in the last finals and even in the playoffs, they got a lot of big guys making plays. So we need to get size. You know, hopefully Klay comes back and, you know, at the very least, he could be a spot shooter. So we need somebody who could help Draymond Green down low. And especially somebody could get rebounds, man. We're always getting out-rebounded by everybody, and that drives me crazy, man.
Gotcha, Jonathan. Thank you very much for the call. You're obviously a brilliant basketball observer. You mentioned Franz Wagner. This is from Wes Goldberg, and he's going to join us today. Wes is going to be with us a little after 11. Quote, there's a growing belief across the league that Franz Wagner has a promise from Sacramento, but according to a league source, Wagner did conduct a private workout with Golden State, and the possibility of the Warriors making him the seventh pick is gaining steam.
Oh, boy.
End quote. I will just leave that there. Don't you guys think if we are talking about drafting somebody that you can plug in next year, I mean, defense is at a premium, right? Because if you want a rookie to play for the Warriors next year, it almost has to be somebody who is pretty advanced for a rookie defensively.
Absolutely. I think that, to me, JD, is the most important attribute of a rookie is, do you know what you're doing and can you play defense? Because and this is not to pick on James Wiseman, but he was not the rim protector, the defensive force that he eventually will be, because he's still figuring it out and all the coverages and, you know, how to be able to play the screen role, et cetera. So that to me, and again, that's why I'm kind of smitten with Davion Mitchell over Corey Kispert. I love Kispert. I think he, as a stretch five, can really shoot it. And he's kind of the new age big man, quote unquote. I don't know about defensively, but offensively he's a weapon. But for me, the Mitchell defense, JD, is what has me most excited about the pick at 14.
Yeah, the defense and also the intelligence. And I do think as you dig deeper into Franz Wagner, as much as he wouldn't be my pick, he does have upside defensively. He does have the potential to step on the floor and understand the Warriors' scheme and be able to switch. I mean, if they go switch everything, yeah. like he's the kind of guy that, that has the physical tools, I think, and the intelligence and the instincts to be able to do that. The question mark on him is, can he knock down the three-point shot consistently enough to remain on the floor? Because I don't think the Warriors can draft somebody that's just a defensive stopper or defense first and foremost. They need a well-rounded player. They need more shooting, to put it bluntly, and Wagner.
That's why
is,
I like Kispert. That's why I like Kispert. Wagner's not a bad shooter. He just hasn't.
No,
shoot, he doesn't shoot a lot. For
he's
one
streaky.
Thing.
Yeah, I think yeah. he's. I think he's streaky. For like he'll get hot. He'll go cold. Mm-hmm. But I think he's an intelligent player that would fit a lot of the traits that we always talk about that the Warriors covet.
Real quick, Connor Letourneau on Twitter. One player who is kind of the prototypical prospect Bob Myers loves is Franz Wagner, could be in the mix for the Warriors at 7. Interesting. 888-957-9570. Nico joins us from Sacramento, California. Nico, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, man. I just want to let you guys know, man. I'm sick of it. I mean, I think, you know, the Warriors need to get younger and cheaper. I mean, there's no way they could bring in a veteran and spend this much money into the luxury tax and still be competitive. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. And Joey Lightyears needs to continue to be Lightyears and not switch to Joey Stretch Armstrong and take somebody like Wagner. That's just ridiculous, man. I don't see him fitting on the Warriors. I don't see any of those picks fitting on the Warriors. It's just they're picks that everyone is seeing to go in the top 10. But that player doesn't fit for the Warriors. You guys,
Nico, hold on once. Nico, let me ask you, you want to see the Warriors get younger, then who do you want them to pick?
Oh, you know, man, Steven already know. Your boy, like Cameron Thomas out of LSU, he is a walking 40, 50, 90. Man, he dropped 88% from the free throw line at LSU. You can't stop that, man. He's a dark-skinned Klay Thompson. I'm
all right. Thank you, Nico. Appreciate the call. 888-957.
Breakdown.
Something broke down there. That's for sure. 888-957-9570. Joe in San Jose, 95.7 The Game. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hello.
Go on. Let's try one more time here. Matt in Oakland, 95.7 The Game. Hello, Matt. You're on with Dibs, JD, and Whitey. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
You know what they say about general managers? They only lie when their lips move. So I don't think any of these trades. The only one I liked was the one for Turner and Warren with, I think it's a pick plus Wiggins. But, they can't afford Beal. And I think at 7, they'll go either Bouknight or, is that how you say his name? Or Kuminga if he falls, and then dangle him. And at 14, maybe Duarte. But they got to get young, and I giving away bigs is nuts. Did you see how the U.S. got slaughtered by the Europeans when they were trying to switch, you know, Damian Lillard onto Gobert? I think the pendulum's kind of swinging back a little bit. So giving up big men is nuts. That's all I got to say. Good luck, and it's going to be fun.
All right, thank you. Appreciate your listening. What do you guys think of Bouknight? We just talked to his coach, Coach Hurley, a couple days ago. One of the reasons I'm not crazy about bringing in Bouknight, and I know a lot of people still think he goes to the Warriors at 7, and I know he's got a lot of upside. But the fact that his coach said, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, he's not getting drafted for his defense. I'm presuming a guy like Bouknight, you'd want him on the floor with Jordan Poole. And I don't think I could have the two of them on the floor next year. I think I'd be giving up too much defensively. I don't see that as a fit at all.
Yeah, great second unit breakdown there, because you need, you know, if you have Kevon Looney or even if it's James Wiseman, you expect him to become a better defensive player. But if you have a guy who isn't getting drafted for his defense, and already Jordan Poole is, he's not a liability, JD, but I would say he's a minus defender. He's slightly subpar.
I'd say he's a liability. Excuse me, Dibs, but I'd definitely say
you
he's
would
a
go
liability.
All the way to liability. Okay.
Yes.
You know, because Steph, in the beginning of his career, wasn't a liability, but he was a minus defender. And now he's become a slightly above neutral to a plus defender. Like Draymond's a plus-plus. Wiggins is a plus defender. Kevon Looney is a plus defender. You know, I think you get the point here. So if you're drafting a guy to play alongside Poole, who is a minus defender or even a liability, you got issues.
No, and I think, look, Bouknight, it's all offense with him. And yeah, so you love the offensive game. You love the mid-range game. You love the ability to get to the basket and put pressure on the defense and attack. You love all of that about Book Knight. But it just reeks of November in after practice. Hey, Steve, why is Book Knight not able to get on the court asking Steve Kerr a question? Yeah. Well, you know, he's just behind the NBA game right now. He just needs some time to understand.
He's learning
and
the offense.
He's learning the offense, and he's really good at going at his opponent when we just put the ball in his hands and let him go. But he's still trying to learn how we do things, and defensively, he's just not there. And you can't have that guy at number seven. Like, you just can't. As talented
absolutely.
As he is, that is exactly can't the kind it. Of. I do not want to hear that. If we're talking about players.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That can't be in the rotation come November, December 1st. That's
miss
a major, major problem for the Golden State Warriors.
I love it. You could have brought it home with a classic JD. That's a problem, but you know, we'll try to get you ramped
you're
up.
Saving
your,
it.
Yeah, I, no, I love
still.
That.
That's
Why,
crazy.
Yes, you know, it's early first hour, and I'm still waiting for you to put it bluntly that you're sick of it, and maybe we can get you revved up for that one as well. But
stay tuned.
Yeah, thank you for that, Whitey.
888-957-9570. Chucky D in Concord joins us, 95.7 The Game. Chucky D, what you got on the Warriors on this draft day?
I think they're in great position, great spot here, having the 7th and the 14th pick. Yeah, the thing I'm, as a longtime Warrior fan, the thing I'm feeling here is that the Warriors' payroll is too bloated. Kelly Oubre is sitting on a lot of money. And basically, I think you can find someone in the draft that can do what Oubre does. Solve that problem, and you cut all that money. And then you pick up as I like that guy from Turkey, Sigun. I mean, I think you bring in a big mobile. That guy is a talent, and we're going to regret passing him at 14. So, you know, just stay cool, everybody, and I think you could relieve the spot where Uber has, get some money out of that, and get in a guy who can do what he did. You know, simple.
Thank you. Thank you, Chucky D. Appreciate that. I'm sure, you know, a lot of fans want the Warriors to pull some kind of sign and trade with Uber, but there's so many moving parts there. I don't know how likely that is. Marcus in San Francisco joins us, 888-957-9570. Marcus, you're on with Dibs, JD, and Whitey. What's up?
Oh, man, with all due respect, you guys are wrong on Book Knight, man. Book Knight got game, man. The kid is, he's creative, explosive. They don't have a player like that other than Poole on the team.
Marcus, we're not saying he's not. We're just saying that his coach said you're not drafting him for his defense. We're a little concerned about that. That's all.
And that's the same coach that, you know, he couldn't get any of those guys to play any defense last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. I think it's a different coach we're talking about, but that's okay, right, Dibs?
Yeah, and it's always difficult to project a guy defensively. Even, you know, Davion Mitchell, we talked about what Baylor did to Gonzaga, taking their soul, their wallet, their vehicle. They took it all in the opening.
Lunch money.
Totally. 5 minutes of that game. And so the freshness of that makes you think, oh, he's going to be able to come in and defend right away. Well, it's not as easy as that, JD, especially when you start getting into the deep rigors, the deep water of an NBA season, game 47, and you've been going up against grown men night in and night out. It's a little different than, you know, a college schedule.
Look, Book Knight, offensively, I'd have no problem picking him.
Absolutely.
Like right now, offensively, absolutely. Everything the caller said, I agree with. He can get to the basket, he mid-range, all of those things, puts pressure on the defense. Like offensively, he's a good pick. Defensively, though, he's at a level where it makes me pause just because I look at the way the Warriors operate. And Whitey, you pointed this out yesterday, right? It's what you had the story about how, you know, some didn't want minutes to be given, right, within the Warriors.
Right.
But minutes had to be earned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that's true, how do you earn your minutes with this Warriors team? You earn them by being intelligent and knowing where to be and not being a liability defensively. That's the tone that Steve Kerr's put. So as good as Book Knight is offensively, and I like him, it feels like less of a no-brainer to me because of the defensive deficiencies when you start to look at the fact that you'd want him to be out there on the floor immediately.
I think if you drafted Book Knight, you would have to have that philosophy. We talked about this with Kuminga, too, potentially, where, all right, Book Knight is going to be a project for a while. He's not going to play until he earns his minutes defensively, and then you'd rely more on the guy you get at 14 to plug in. But there's no, you're absolutely right. Book Knight is a tremendous offensive player, but he's got, with the defensive liabilities, it's very difficult. If you're actually trying to win next year, to put him on the floor in situations where he's with, for example, a Jordan Poole, 888-957-9570, Mike
feels
in San
redundant.
Jose. Yeah, yeah, Mike in San Jose, 95.7 The Game. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I completely agree with you guys right now. You know, I don't think you sacrifice and you get something offensively. We've got enough ball, we've got enough guys, we've got enough shooters over here to go around. That's not something that the Warriors need. I think what we need right now is somebody you can plug in defensively. And the only definite that you know with the draft and the class.
I'm sorry, Mike, I have to let you go. Not your fault, yeah. But kind of sideline communications down there, Dibs.
Yeah, and occasionally. So neither team will be allowed to use sideline communications now. We're going back to old school hand signals, or maybe we'll go college JD and just hold up those gigantic placards, you know. There's a duck and a Rubik's Cube. Oh, does that mean we're going four wide, or does that mean two tight ends? I can't remember, Coach.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
I have this footnote, hardly earth-shattering news, but according to Woj, the Pistons have decided on who they will pick first, and it's Cade Cunningham. So that's the latest Woj bomb. The Pistons have decided they will take Cade Cunningham with the first pick. And speaking of who the Warriors could pick, we've been talking a little bit about Franz Wagner. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. This is yesterday when we talked to Brian Scalabrine. Here's what he had to say yesterday about the Warriors and Franz Wagner.
Leandro Barbosa is on my Big Three team that we play every weekend in the Big Three. And I brought up Davion Mitchell and I brought up some other guys. I didn't bring up Franz Wagner, and he brought him up, and he was doing backflips over him. He thought he was a really good player. He defends, he's tough. So I don't know. Like, I think you can get him at 14, but the word on the street is that Wagner's going to be a pretty high pick, and he's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, and again, according to Wes Goldberg, yeah, the
great
talk
soundbite, almost a perfect soundbite. If it wasn't for the seal activity going on there, you figure a guy's been in the business since the late 70s. He would know to lay out for a guest to maybe complete a clean cut. But go ahead, Whitey.
Thank you. I thought that really brought it home. 888-957-9570. What would make you happy as a Warrior fan? What could the Warriors do today to make you happy? We'll get back to the calls. 888-957-9570. Dibs, I think we also have to look at somebody who's hitting a vada homers these days, right? Last night in our league?
Oh, yeah. We get a full slate of activity, including an unfortunate start for Anthony D. Sclafani.
All right, that's coming up here. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with Dibs, JD, and Whitey today on draft day on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
and John
That's a Problem
Dickinson on 95.7 The Game.
Nobody is doing draft day like we are. NBA draft coverage all day on 95.7 The Game. Damon Radonkolski today from Chase Center. They're going to have Bob Myers at 2:30, Kirk Lacob at 3:30. They're going to have other guests as well. Plus, they'll be bringing you the Warriors picks live, and they'll be first with any breaking news. And then Nick Friedel in all night with Covey and Shamari, providing a breakdown of the Warriors' moves after the draft. We appreciate your calls here, 888-957-9570. We will get back to them because we're talking Dubs and NBA draft all day long. Right now, we do have a couple of baseball notes we have to mention here because the trade deadline and the Giants, part of the bonanza. Michael Talkman, DFA'd John Dickinson.
Yeah, the Giants clearing some roster room with Brandon Crawford reinstated from the injured list. Aaron Sanchez coming back off of his rehab assignment, so he gets reinstated. That means a couple of players have to go. John Brebbia heads down to Sacramento, and Mike Talkman, a hero in a couple of different games for the Giants during this incredible run that they've had, designated for assignment. So we'll see if he gets through waivers. Maybe the Giants look to try to outright him down to Sacramento if he'll accept that assignment. But his time with the big club is over.
Gave us perhaps, yeah, the most unforgettable moment of the season, perhaps that catch at Dodger Stadium. Right now, Dibs, it's time for last night in our league.
And a wild one it was, and unfortunately, a lot of these moves were preceded by an uncomfortable night at Oracle Park where the Dodgers took it to Di Sclafani early and often.
1-0 pitch. Swung on and hammered down the right field line. It is deep. It is gone. A home run, Bellinger. Boy, Cody Bellinger smacked it. He just missed getting the distance to put it in McCovey Cove. But he hits his fifth home run of the year. The Dodgers lead it 8-0.
Bellinger so high!
And that was your final. Tim Neverett, the call. Dodgers Radio Network 8. Nothing. The Dodgers split the first two in the three-game series, which wraps today, JD.
Yeah, and Di Sclafani facing the Dodgers for the fifth time this season. He's still got one win in his career, an ERA over 6 in his career against the Dodgers, and the Giants haven't beaten Walker Buehler one time, Whitey. Not a single time in his career have the Giants beaten him. They've won his starts, but they haven't been able to beat him. He's been dominant, and that was a win that frankly, the Dodgers had to get last night.
Yeah, and that really hurts, giving up a home run to Bellinger, because he's terrible this year. You know, 2019, an MVP-caliber season. Then last year, he was okay. Last year, got hurt celebrating a home run in the postseason. Interesting, Flem last night suggesting maybe there's still something wrong with his shoulder after he did some sort of forearm smash with Kike Hernandez. But yeah, Bellinger right now, you know, you look at all the stars the Dodgers are missing, you can almost put him on that list because even though he's playing, he's not the same player. He's terrible this year.
And I think he is clearly injured. And Walker Buehler, 11-1. I know we don't dwell on pitcher wins as much as we used to, but he's got to be in the Cy Young conversation as dominant as he has been. Game number two, it's the Angels riding Shohei over the Rockies.
Now it's 2-1. Here's the pitch. And there's a ball. It's hit well out into right field. And that ball is out of here. Shohei Ohtani has done it again. That is home run number 37 of the season. That's a three-run shot. Angels take a 4-3 lead. And again tonight, it's showtime.
I love it. Not at the Apollo, but that's Terry Smith, KLAA, Angels Radio Network. Ohtani does it again as the Angels were able to hold off the Rockies 11-38 now, Colorado on the road. And JD, the Angels, are they still alive in this AL wildcard race?
Nah, it doesn't look like it. I mean, I guess technically, mathematically, five games back. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, yeah, there's a big group of teams. I was just thinking it's kind of a shame that they are still so hard to take seriously as far as a playoff spot, because right? It would be so much fun to see Ohtani pitching and hitting in a postseason series. But Whitey, doesn't look like it's meant to be.
No, I'll be interested to see if they decide to sell. I mean, there's a handful of teams right in that same boat, that very difficult situation. What are we going to do here? Are we going to sell? Are we going to make a run for it? I think the smart move for them would be to try to make a push. I'm hoping that's what they do, but the smart thing would probably be to sell and regroup once again.
Yeah, great uptick. And I think if you get past Seattle, then maybe we can take you serious as a possible wild card team. Continuing on last night, in our league with the Reds clobbering the Cubbies.
Greinke. The 3-1. Votto whacks it. Right center field. Well hit. And deep. And gone. Joey Votto's done it again. A two-run shot for Votto. His second home run tonight. And Joey Votto has back-to-back multi-home run games.
Whoa.
Tommy Thrall, Reds Radio Network. Votto on fire in the Reds victory. Chris Bryant on the block, 0-for-3 with a punchy. He played left. He played short. And apparently not playing today, JD.
Yeah, let the speculation continue as far as will this be the final 24 hours of Chris Bryant in a Cubs uniform. I think we all would agree that that's exactly where this thing is headed. But will he be coming to San Francisco or maybe headed elsewhere to one of the teams that the Giants are in contention with? Whitey, where are you at on Cincinnati? They're you know, not a threat necessarily to the Giants, 10.5 back, but it sounds like they view themselves as buyers and maybe a team that could try to make a run at San Diego. They're currently 5
Absolutely.
Back.
I think Cincinnati is one of the reasons that San Diego will be motivated to do things because, yeah, San Diego looking up at the Dodgers, up at the Giants, up at the Dodgers, up at the Giants, and the Reds are lurking there. Yeah, 5 games back, so a little bit of a cushion there, but I think Cincinnati does have the wherewithal to make a run, so that's another reason why the Padres had better improve that pitching staff, which has just been nothing close to what they expected it to be this year.
And
last night was a great example of that, Whitey, as we wrap up last night in our league before pivoting back to the NBA draft tonight. The A's punishing the Padres pitchers.
Kick and the 0-1 pitch hit really well out to deep left field. That's going to go. Tommy Pham ran back, but nothing he can do. That is up off the ribbon board in left field. A 3-run homer for Matt Chapman. His 13th of the season, and it is 4-0 Oakland in the first.
Jesse Agler, Padres Radio Network, 10-4 the final. Sean Manaea dominant again. Oakland needed that one desperately, and for the Giants, JD, who got cuffed around, nice to see that the Padres didn't gain at all in their efforts.
Yeah, the A's helping out the Giants there, but you're right. I mean, I'm interested to see what happens with the A's. They needed that game badly yesterday just to stop the bleeding. They added Chafin a couple days ago. They added Marte, and what still is a stunner for me.
Stunning.
Even though Jesus Luzardo had clearly fallen out of favor and not, frankly, been very good when he had been at the big league level. But, the A's stopgap. I just wonder, are we going to be talking a month from now about, wow, the A's got hot, they're doing it again, just when everybody was about to leave them for dead?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the losing pitcher there, Blake Snell, getting back to that Padre conversation, Blake Snell, they got in from Tampa Bay. They thought, this is awesome. We got Musgrove. We got Yu Darvish. And Blake Snell has been terrible.
Big,
he's
fat
dunk yesterday. Walk, walk, home run. So, yeah, the Padres got a lot of work to do here. It's funny. You see them when they play well, right? When the ball's flying out of the park and they are pitching well and that place goes crazy and they look like, oh, my goodness, that's a good team. But then there are too many nights when the pitching isn't there, the offense stumbles, and it's like a Jekyll and Hyde with the Padres this year.
Yeah, 5-game lead on Cincinnati in the wild card. Padres are the second card, and the A's the second card in the American League. But you got Seattle right there, 2 back. The Yankees are 2.5 back, and then the Angels in Cleveland. Feels like the American League wild card, the second wild card in particular, is going to be much tighter than the National League.
The Yankees do anything at the deadline? Yankees do anything to improve their postseason chances, you guys?
Well, if today's any measurement of it, they're already down 4-0. So this is heading into another Yankee loss today. And feels like, man, heads are going to roll as opposed to trades being made.
Yeah, Joey Gallo not saving him, Whitey. Not saving him. But again, you give him credit for trying. They're always going to be swinging for the fences, trying to get the biggest name possible to come in and save it. But yeah, to Dib's point, ineffective at this stage as the Rays just keep throttling them as they have the last two seasons.
Thank you, Dibs. 888-957-9570. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Dibs, JD, and Whitey today on this draft day. Seth Greenberg from ESPN is going to join us top of the hour. Right now, back to the phones we go. Let's talk to Bay Rob in San Francisco. He's got some ideas on what the Dubs need to do with these picks. In fact, we're going to shift gears and go to Dominique in San Leandro instead. Dominique joins us on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Dom?
What's up, guys? Excited
hey.
For the draft. Just wanted to get my points on the number 7 pick. I think it's dependent on how much they believe in Nico Mannion or not. It seems like Kerr's a fan of him. But if they don't believe in him, I think you got to go with Giddy from Australia with the 7th pick. His intelligence just jumps off the board. And if you watch that game that they played against Nigeria, the same team that beat Team USA, he looked like the smartest player out there, and he looked 2 steps ahead of everybody. Not as far as athleticism, obviously, but as far as knowing where the ball needs to go and finding the wide-open man. And Mike Brown was standing on the sideline watching the entire thing, so I feel like if he's a voice in that room, that might be a way that they go. And at 14, there's still going to be plenty of forwards, so I don't think you have to reach for Wagner. That's all I have to say. Love to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the mention of Josh Giddey, 18 years old, 6'8", 185. He can't shoot. Josh Giddey can't shoot.
Is it a skill that can be learned, though, for Josh Giddey? I mean, because you see other players who've come in and struggle with their shot, like Markelle Fultz, for example, and he hasn't really been able to develop the shot at that level. And how much do you have to... You not take the Olympics experiences with a grain of salt, but you really want to see a player over a long haul against a more competitive landscape than just an Olympiad.
Well, I'll just say this real quick, JD. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you were asking yesterday, JD, why did Memphis move up to 10 with that trade they made with the Pelicans? And a lot of people think it's because they want a shot. They want Josh Giddey. That's the guy they want.
Yeah, as far as the first part of that question goes, do the Warriors believe in Nico Mannion or not? Look, Nico Mannion's unplayable until further notice, and maybe not even a guy that winds up on the roster when it's all said and done. So don't even factor him into the equation at all for this upcoming season with the expectations the Warriors have. But yeah, Giddey is a Warriors type of player, but he can't shoot. Like, the Warriors need shooting. So even though he's a high basketball IQ guy, he sees the game, he processes it well, all of those things the Warriors like, those intelligent intangibles, you got to be able to put the ball in the basket, and he's 18. Like, he you would file him in the category of needs to develop and probably will have to spend some time in Santa Cruz, unable to help immediately. If you're going to draft that kind of a player, the upside better be immense, and I'm just not sure that the upside with so many questions about the shooting can get to where it needed to be.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station, and a segment brought to you by Fremont Bank Full Service.